for Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of
Romo Seltzer.
Tonight, Romo Seltzer's Vox Pop travels to Bergstrom Field, Texas, Army Air Force's Troop Carrier Command Base. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Mark Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Bergstrom Field, Texas.
This is Fox Johnson, deep in the heart of Texas in the middle of bluebonnet season.
And this is Warren Hull with lots of Indian paintbrush around, too. And, partner, we're sure proud to be with these troop carrier command men, aren't we? And, fellas, here are a couple of questions for you. Who flies paratroopers and glider troops into enemy territory?
Who flies supplies into combat areas whenever our men are fighting and wherever they're fighting?
Who flies wounded out of the battlefields to hospitals at the rear?
Who spearheaded invasions from North Africa to the Rhine, from New Guinea to the Philippines?
Who? Why, the Troop Carrier Command, right, men? Yeah, there are hundreds of them here in this beautiful rec hall, and just raring to go, as are we. Come on, Parks, what do you say?
Well, Warren, we'll get going with the sergeant. He's a black-haired, gray-eyed, smile. Get around in front of this here thing, Sergeant. Smiling Irishman. His job in the Troop Carrier Command is a little bit different from the stories that we usually present. So before we chat with some of our overseas men, here's a fellow who almost skipped basic training, believe it or not. He's from Manchester, Connecticut. Folks, Sergeant, Staff Sergeant James D. Mahoney.
Hi, James.
No, I didn't forget it. Say, Jim, you did skip basic training?
Well, practically, Park.
How do you mean? How much did you get?
Well, a little over 3 weeks.
Well, and, what happened?
Well, before I knew it, I was on a troop transport on halfway down to Panama.
Really?
Yes.
Did you do anything at all in this country? Squad right or left?
Well, a little bit of that and a great deal of KP. I guess they...
Oh, yes, KP. Well, you must be the only child in your family.
No, I have six sisters and one brother.
Really?
My brother's in the Philippines with the 1st Cavalry Division,
uh-huh.
And I have a sister in the nurse corps. She's an ensign. Stationed at St. Albans, New York.
Ah, swell. We did a program there not so long ago, and it was a swell bunch. Say, don't get away from this microphone. Stay right in front of it. I want your sister to hear you up there. What have you done in this man's army, Sergeant?
Well, I've been mostly in legal work, Parks.
Legal work?
Yes.
You mean both in Panama and up here?
Yes, in Panama. I started in the office of the staff judge advocate there.
Well, what are you doing up here now?
Well, I'm in the legal division on the base here.
Yeah, but what kind of legal work do you have to do?
Well, we handle court-martials.
Oh.
Line of duty boards.
Oh.
Motor vehicle accidents, aircraft accidents, and claims arising from the result of these motor vehicle accidents and aircraft accidents.
Claims?
Do you recall
any particular one? You could show us what you mean by a claim?
Well, we had one last summer. One of our gliders cut loose prematurely and landed in a cane and maize patch out here about 14 miles from here.
Uh-huh.
So we went out one afternoon and... unofficial business, and looked over the property and got an idea of how much damage was done.
Well, how do you know the price of grain and corn and stuff
well,
in Connecticut?
I really don't. They grow a little corn in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw this maize before.
Yeah.
I was amazed, too.
Oh, why? I didn't expect that from you. Nice work, Jim.
Well, we got together and we called the county agent here and got an idea of what the price of corn was and
settled
what it? The price of maize was and cane. And
yeah.
We settled the claim, all right. She received her money, all right.
It ended all happily all the way around.
Oh, certainly.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure she was pleased.
How do you know she was pleased?
Well, later on, about a month later, we received an invitation to those in the office to come out for a chicken dinner.
Oh, well, then I know you settled it satisfactorily. Well, Jim, we got a lot of business to transact tonight, so we're going to move along. And now, from Bromo Seltzer, you know, the usual thing at this time... knowing that you do collect antiques, and especially antique bottles, we've got two really rare bottles. One of them is a carnation bottle. It's a hard thing to get. The other is a weighted bottle with exquisite flowers blown into the jar. You think you like that?
Oh, I sure will.
Yeah, look at them there. Dave's got them. And now, for that second hobby of yours, we've got a beauty of a custom-built fly rod, and miracle of miracles, we got a Shakespeare reel to go with it. How's that, all right?
All I can see is Jesus.
Now, wait a minute. That's not all. Just in case you can't get a date or don't have anything else to do, here's a smart little Emerson portable radio that might pass away the time. Thank you a lot, Jim. Wait a minute, though. Hold the deal. I want to find out about that chicken dinner. Did you get your fill of chicken?
Well, no, Parks. I wasn't able to make that trip out there.
Oh, you missed it?
I missed it.
That's what we heard. And through the kindness of Captain Fenton over here at the officer's mess, we provided a chicken dinner complete for you, which we want you to sit right here on the stage and eat during the rest of the thing. Now, there comes Corporal James A. Dickerson of Newport News, Virginia, with the thing right there. Now, go over there and sit down and have your chicken dinner to your heart's content. Okay, Sergeant Jim Harmon.
Boy, that sure is a pretty sight. Well, the best way to describe this TCC man is that he looks like Freddie Martin, the famous band leader, and that's good. He's back from a long tour of duty with one of the first troop carrier command outfits in the South Pacific. From Sunset, Louisiana, Captain Albert H. Burley. Say, that Sunset, that's a pretty name. Where is it?
That's down in the sweet potato country down in the South.
Oh, was that what you were doing, growing sweet potatoes before you joined the Army?
No, not exactly. I was going to school and flying cubs, mostly.
Flying cubs?
That's right, with the veterinarian out there, we...
You were flying with a vet?
That's right.
What, doing what?
Well, he was vaccinating cattle out in the marshes, and since there were no roads, we had to go out in planes and...
Well, you mean you'd set her down in a pasture and vaccinate the mules?
That's right.
Huh. You must have had some interesting experiences.
Well, we did have one in particular.
Go on, give.
We were flying over Tennessee and happened to get lost like you do in a cub.
Yeah.
We landed in a small hay field, and we were approached, well, not exactly, we taxied up to a small house out there, and for a while we sat out in the plane and nobody had come out to see about it. Well, we saw a lot of smoke coming out of a little house in the back, and then we noticed people began to peep out. Apparently they thought we were revenue officers or something, and we had a time making them come out and tell us where we were.
Oh, well, maybe they thought you had come to see the white mule. Let's talk about your experiences overseas. What were you doing over there? What was your job?
Well, we were flying cargo, mostly ammunition and mostly bully beef and stuff to the infantry.
Dropping it sometimes too, huh?
Mostly dropping, and some of it we'd land. Mm-hmm.
How close to enemy action did you get?
Well, we got pretty close. Well, to be exact, we got close enough that they throw hand grenades at our planes when we'd land.
That's too close, brother. I'll tell you that. Well, that's one of the reasons we can see when you were doing that sort of work, why so many TCC squadrons were received citations. There's one point I'd like to clear up, though. Well, where did you pick up the supplies and the men and so on that you carried into the battle areas?
Well, we picked it up where ATC left it.
I see. Well, of course, you TCC men like the sound of that anyway. Well, time is really passing on here. We want to thank you very much for some of the pointers on Troop Carrier Command. And Al, we want to thank you for being with us. And it's a pleasure now to come to these words Romo Seltzer has for you. Well, first, a service for eight in Royal Doulton China. Gossamer pattern. Dave's going to get it out of the box there so you can see it. Isn't that beautiful? And crystal sherbets, goblets, and plates to go with it. And they're all on a hand-painted tray. Very, very lovely. And when you... Boy, he's busy carrying these things out. When you preside at that beautiful table, here's a sterling silver carving set in Georgian rose pattern. Many happy meals to you, and good luck to you, Captain Albert H. Burley.
Thank you very much.
And now, friends, before we hear from our next Vox Pop participant, Paul Brenson brings us a few words on a topic familiar to many.
Thank you, Parks. Friends, when ordinary headache says no to efficiency, say yes to Speedy Romo Seltzer. Though that headache may have upset stomach and frazzled nerves as companions, Romo Seltzer quickly helps relieve all three. Romo Seltzer dissolves fast acts promptly to help bring welcome relief from headache pain, upset feeling, and jittery nerves. You can take Bromo-Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Caution, use only as directed. But when common headache upsets your day, don't be satisfied with single-acting aid. Turn to time-tested Bromo-Seltzer. A product of the Emerson Drug Company, Bromo-Seltzer comes in four popular sizes. Buy a bottle of Bromo-Seltzer from your druggist tonight. You're all set with
Bromo-Seltzer, 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 Bromo-Seltzer.
Okay, here we are back again. Come on up here, please. On January the 5th, 1942, Vox Pop did a program with a group of cadets at Randolph Field, Texas. One of the big men on the air with us that night towers above me now at the microphone. Even when he stoops, I'd say he's at least 6'4". So look, I can't get this thing up high enough for you, and if I do, it's too high for me. Dave, bring me out a box or something, will you? I got to get up on this thing. By golly, that's... Well, I'm up here anyway. All right, Captain, you and I play ball here now. You don't mind this, do you?
No, not at all.
First time somebody's looked down on you in a long time, isn't it? Well, folks, he really is big. A few years ago, he starred with the University of Kentucky Wildcats in football, basketball, track. And he's the great-grandson of Devil Ants Hatfield. You know all the Kentucky Hatfields and McCoys? I'm going to treat you nice. Don't worry about that. But seriously, and best of all, he's a veteran pilot in the Troop Carrier Command with some mighty tough overseas service behind him. Folks, from Covington, Kentucky, Captain Lawrence Spears.
Well, I'm sure glad to be back tonight. Remember the last time I saw you, though, I was on my way overseas, out to Westover Field, I think.
That's right, just for a short time, Captain. Captain, heck, I'm going to call you Larry. Is that
you're
all
not
right
saying now? It sure was a short time. In fact, I was married there, and I had 2 weeks before I left.
Say, who'd you marry?
I married Ursula J. Marshall at that time. She's now Ursula J. Spear.
Where's she from?
She's from Covington, Kentucky.
Oh, that pretty blonde lady down there.
You're not just saying that.
Say, I recall, Larry, that you had 6 brothers.
That's right. I have 6 brothers. In fact, they started to grow up now. Back in 42, the baby boy, he was just 6'1", but now the shortest one is 6'3".
You mean the runt is 6'3", huh?
He'll grow up someday, though, I hope.
Oh, he's just right. Well, how many of you 6 are in service?
Well, it happens to be that three of us are in the Air Corps and 2 in the Navy now.
5 out of the 6.
5 out of the 6. The other one's working the DuPont chemical plant.
Warwick, all the way through, all 6 of you. That's quite a record in a family like that, isn't it, folks? Well, what would you expect of a fellow that looks like this and his brothers who look like that, too? Where have you been since I saw you last, Larry?
Well, after leaving Randolph, I got my wings at Ellington Field here in Houston. And after leaving there, I went to Duncan Field and then on to Westover Field where I saw you then. I had about 13 hours, I guess, after getting out of flying school until they shipped us on across. Well, we flew across, started with 52 planes and got there with 52.
Say, hold it. Let me get in there a minute. What? Weren't you in the first troop carrier command outfit that went overseas?
That's right. They called us, we had a colonel that called us the assault group. I think that's what he tried to name us. But it was changed to the troop carrier we found after we got to Scotland.
Troop carrier command then, huh?
That's right. Say,
what passengers have you carried that you recall that we might know?
Well, I carried a few. In fact, you might remember Martha Ray. I flew her around a while over there. Also, General Spots, Air Marshal Tedder, and last but not least, General Patton.
I should say that is not least. How about the General? Is he a good flyer?
As far as I'm concerned, one day we let him fly for about 2 hours. He was going down to take over the 7th Army at that time. He's really a swell fellow, as far as I know. He treated us awful nice, I thought.
Tops, isn't he? Captain, that's mighty fine. Now, tell me this, what is your job here?
Well, my job here, I'm a flight leader in Phase 2.
What goes on in Phase 2?
Well, after they teach them how to get the airplane in the air and down again, we try to give them a little more of the, such as formation flying, glider towing, and things like that in Phase 2.
Yeah, one of the big things you do, too, is towing the gliders filled with troops.
That's right.
Larry, doggone it, I hate to leave you, but we got to move on. There's other fellas coming. So, those famous 5 words that Warren coined, Bromo-Seltzer has for you. Boy, and I hope I see you again for so long, too. Anyway, first for Mrs. Spears, we've got a lovely Santo Domingo mahogany salad bowl with a sterling silver base and sterling silver handles on those forks and spoons you see there. Seeing that you've had serious trouble getting fitted from your size and everything else, and knowing you can't get the material, we've got an officer's summer uniform coming up. The material is furnished by Millbank, Lehman & Company of New York and tailored to your measure by Fashions for Men in New York, and it's going to fit swell, too. And so that you can get back on your golf game, Larry, here's a swell bag filled with clubs, a complete bunch of bike clubs and wood. And thank you a lot, Captain Larry Spears. I hope it won't be long till we see you again. Okay, Larry.
Hey, Parks, there's a very... you can put that mic down now. There's a very distinguished-looking gentleman here, Colonel Joe Ed Winfrey. He's a representative in the Texas legislature, and he wants to
from
talk
Harris
to you.
From Harris County, an old friend of mine. Come up, Colonel Joe. I'm awfully glad to see you.
Glad to see you, Parks. You know, folks, down here in Texas, where we have the firstest and finest and the mostest and best, we're very proud of our folks. And one of the most respected and best beloved is Parks Johnson of this program. And when we heard recently that he was going to be in Texas, the House of Representatives of this state, by a unanimous vote, requested his appearance before the legislature to put on one of his programs at any time that suited him. That resolution, after a lot of whereases, saying many nice things about Parks and its resolving clause, recognizes the great work that he has done for this country and extends the invitation that I have been personally delegated to deliver. Parks, I deem it a great honor to be accorded the privilege of presenting to you this official acknowledgement from the legislature of our state of your fine work.
Colonel Joe, thanks a lot, but not from me. Thanks from the fellows in uniform, both in the services and in production, who've made Vox Pop what it has been for the past 5 years. And to Warren Hall, my partner, Dave Grant, Raj Brackett, Tom Marins, and all of our engineers. Here's Ray Noreen with us today. We certainly appreciate it, and we're going to accept that invitation at a time convenient both to you and Vox Pop when we're here. Thank you a lot, Colonel Winfrey. Okay, Warren.
You just wait till we get up in Gasport, New York sometime, Park. Now, here's a troop carrier command man who volunteered for a special, dangerous, secret undertaking. But he can talk about it now. From China, Burma, India, and Kansas City, Captain John M. Dehoney. Johnny, you don't look like a daredevil to me.
I'm not.
Well, we know that you're married. Were you married before you went over or after you came
well,
back?
Well, I would just have to say slightly before. I volunteered a week after I was married.
Well, you better clear that up or you won't be able to go home tonight.
Right. Well, circumstances just made it that way. It looked like I was going to stay in the state for a while, but I was scheduled to go and I was on the list. And so happens that a week after it happened, why it happened.
Oh, fine. Now you can go home and everything will be all right. Tell us about this secret campaign. What was the purpose of it?
Well, our main purpose was to haul General Wingate in with his chin to troops into the middle of Burma so that he could harass the troops in the center of Burma and cut their communications and their rail lines and so on so that General Stillwell could bring his troops down from the north and build the Lido Road, I think is the shortest answer.
Well, that was, in a nutshell, that's a very good answer, and it was a great success, too. We know about that.
It worked very well.
How did you go about it?
Well, we would take off from our base as just on the border of India, next to Burma there, and load up with Wingate's troops and supplies and mules and so on, and just haul them over and in.
You mean you carried mules on a plane?
Yes, indeed.
Well, did you have any trouble getting them on the plane?
Well, yes. Some of them were very, very tough to get on the plane, but I would say without reservation that all of them were exceptionally easy to get off. They seemed happy to leave us, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I can just see you coming in on a wing and a brayer.
Oh, no.
Were they so scared that they brayed?
No, the mules that they had for the jungle work over there were debrayed.
Debrayed.
That's right.
That's a new one. Your commander was Colonel Philip Cochran, wasn't it?
That's right.
The original Flip of Terry and the Pirates?
That's true.
Are you a good guy?
Oh, he's a swell egg.
Uh-huh. one more thing. I'm interested in knowing if you met any dragon lady or who's she over there?
Well, no, but those Burmese gals are kind of pretty. They look a lot like her.
They do, huh? Well, we hope that Terry's present campaign will turn out as well as yours
so
did. And we want to thank you very much, John, for shooting the breeze with us. And now let's see what the Vox Pop Transport Command has dropped at Bergson Field Rec Hall. Roma Seltzer has for you two albums of fine symphonic music, including Toscanini's new album of Wagner. And to play them on, we've ordered a table model radio phonograph combination. It'll be ready tomorrow. Honest, honest. And to delight Mrs. Dehoney, here's a black and chartreuse plaid summer negligee. Pretty, isn't it? And to further delight Mrs. D, here is a frothy black lace bit of nothing called a nightgown. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you,
John and Dehoney. Okay, fine.
I think I ought to give a little report on Sergeant Mahoney. He's getting along with the chicken only slowly. Captain Spears has joined him at the table, and from his size, I don't think they'll have any trouble getting rid of that chicken. No doubt about it, those well-known dogs are back again, says Paul Brentson.
Yes, the hounds of spring are on winter's traces. And speaking of hunting, if common headache threatens to spoil your enjoyment of these first bright days, it's time to track down ordinary headache misery with speedy-acting Bromo Seltzer. Bromo Seltzer's mighty quick on the trigger. Hits common headache three different ways. Helps relieve headache pain, helps soothe jittery nerves, and helps calm upset stomach that may accompany such a headache. You feel three ways better fast. Then, say, doesn't that sunshine feel swell? You can take Bromo Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Caution, use only as directed. But remember, next time headache strikes, turn to time-tested Bromo Seltzer. The three-way fast relief from ordinary headaches. Get a bottle of Bromo Seltzer at your druggist tonight. Get set now with
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Back at Bergstrom Field with the Troop Carrier Command. Folks, you know the ground crewmen are the men of the Air Forces to whom all of us owe a lot. Pilots and civilians alike. There's no group of men in the service more devoted to their jobs than ground crewmen, and that includes crew chiefs. Here's one of them with me right now at the microphone. I'd say he's about 27 years old. He's quiet. He's been in uniform, they tell me, 4 years. We want you to know him from Tampa, Florida, Staff Sergeant Roy Merritt. Roy, you look a little pale than when I saw you yesterday. You're not scared.
Well, Park, did a pill roller ever get a hold of you and shoot a needle in your arm?
You mean you've had shots today?
That is right.
Brother, let me hold you. I've had them. Oh, excuse me. Which arm is it?
Yes, that's the arm.
All right. Well, Roy, I won't touch it anymore. Say, what's the most fun you had in the Army, Roy?
Well, I don't know. I always have fun.
Any one place that you remember?
Well, Columbus, Ohio is about
Why?
The most fun.
Why?
The people.
The people in Columbus, Ohio?
That's right. They're really swell up there.
You liked them, huh?
Going back.
Going back. Well, that's not home, but I hope you do go back, and they are swell people. We were there not too long ago at that field, you know. So what part of the world have you seen since you've been in the Troop Carrier Command?
Well, I've seen most of the Southwest Pacific.
All up and down it, huh?
Yes,
in the
sir.
Troop Carrier Command?
That's right, sir. All Troop Carrier Command, except about 1 year I spent in the field artillery.
And then you reformed and got in the Troop Carrier
that's
Command.
Right.
I see.
I wanted a gravy train.
Say, what part of your Troop Carrier Command work do you think is among the most valuable?
I think the air evacuation, removing the wounded and sick from combat areas.
You're right about that. I wish I had time to go into a story that I heard that you've got there, that you had to land with 19 men one time on a coral reef about 10 days, and you were spotted by another one of your things. They dropped you a little food from these parapacks that they put out and all like that.
That's
but I haven't got time to go in that with you. I would like to ask you, though, on that trip, who took care of the wounded all those 10 days while you were there?
Well, we had a pharmacist mate with us at the time. He was very good.
And you have a medical corpsman and a pharmacist mate
well,
that all the time, don't you?
On a later trip, we got nurses and then we had corpsmen.
Uh-huh. Well, there's nothing like to go to go Troop Carrier Command. Wherever there's something going along, you're there if there's fighting. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Well, Roy, I won't keep you any longer, what with this shot that you've had and all like that. But before you go, from good old Bromo Seltzer, because we learned that you wanted them, here are a pair of suitcases, medium and large. Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, folks. Suitcases not worth a rap unless you go somewhere. So, Dave, bring out a round-trip ticket for your trip home to Tampa, Florida, when that furlough comes up.
And last, something that you haven't had for quite a little while, it's a 17-jewel Kingston watch, water and shock resistant, made for a serviceman.
Thank you.
So, I hope you enjoyed, Sergeant Roy Miller.
Okay, Warren, you're next.
Now, we want you to meet a man who's helped raise Bergstrom Field from a pup. He's champion umpire of softball games, one of those in charge of this rec hall, and who knows what else besides. He's 38, from Baltimore, Maryland, staff sergeant. Looks like a mess sergeant the way he's built. Henry Hank Sukov. Well, Hank, how do you like being a radio star?
Not so good, Warren.
No? Well, tell us, speaking of your baseball umpiring, when you say out, does it mean out?
Means out, even if it's to a major.
Oh. That's good. Say, I've got a tough baseball question for you. Can a side be retired on two pitches?
Yeah, on two pitches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How?
First man gets up, flies out.
Yeah.
Next man does the same thing. They find out the second man batted out at the turn, the tar's aside.
Oh, he knows his stuff. Say, we hear that you put on some swell dances in this rec hall every week. Who's responsible for that, you?
No, Staff Sergeant John Pawacki.
Oh, he's responsible? Well, how? What does he do?
Well, he brings all the girls.
Oh. Well, how many does he get?
Oh, 400 or 500. If you want more, he can get more.
Boy, there's a man with a black book with 400 or 500 names in it.
Say, he's got a black book, too.
Now you're telling. Hank, you're not married. I want to know how come a fellow so good-looking and so good-natured as you has escaped. How some woman hasn't gotten her clutches on you?
Well, I don't get off the base, Warren.
Is that how you do it?
Yes.
Well, here you are, girls. Staff Sergeant Henry Sukup, Bergstrom Field, Austin, Texas. Come and get him. What are some of the other jobs that they've thrown at you, Hank?
Well, Santa Claus for one.
Santa Claus?
Yeah.
How did you come? Down the chimney or what?
No, there wasn't no snow here, so I had to come down by plane.
Oh, really? What did you tell the children?
Oh, I told them how to be good little children, or else it wouldn't bring them no toys.
Well, you... one more thing. You know that big Coke machine that you're in charge of? Well,
yes.
our G2 tells us that you keep something nice and cold in the back of it. What is it?
Oh, boy. I'm going to get the opportunity.
What?
Some splits with Budweiser.
Oh, really? Well, you know, I think we better stop there right now. And we want to thank you, Hank, and your colleagues, because they've really done good work here. It's a wonderful, comfortable, and a swell rec hall. We've seen a lot of them. And Bromo-Seltzer has for you something that'll wade right through those wire whiskers of yours. A Remington Foursome Electric Razor. And for you, another one of those fine 17-jewel Kingston serviceman's wristwatches. And, oh, wait a minute. Knowing what your favorite fruit is, Chesapeake Bay oysters, we called Baltimore, and Jack Kelly, the advertising manager of Bromo-Seltzer up there, is seeing to it that five-gallon containers of those luscious oysters are sent to you air express. You probably pack them in Bromo-Seltzer. And to go with them, here's a keg of your favorite soda pop. Have a good oyster fry. Staff Sergeant Henry Sugar.
Thank you.
Oh, well, that's nearly all till next week. You're a grand bunch of men, you men of the troop carrier command.
We've enjoyed every minute of our weekend with you. Now, about next week. We'll be almost at the gate of Park's Wimberley Ranch, good old Sabino.
Yes, next week we're chatting with the boys and girls of the San Marcos, Texas High School. We want to know what our teenagers are thinking about the world that they're going to inherit before very long.
We think you're going to enjoy the high school youngsters from San Marcos. So tune in, Vox Pop, next Monday. And tell a neighbor to tune in, too, won't you?
Yes, sir. Good night, folks.
And I'm going to get it right this time. So long, everybody.
Last week it was so long, every people, huh?
The Emerson Drug Company brings you this important government message. Your pennies can be dangerous. As we face the most perilous inflationary pressures in our history, Americans who pay more than ceiling prices are needlessly adding $1 billion to the nation's food bill. So watch every penny, because every penny counts. Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America next Monday night, same time, same station, when Parks and Warren visit the teenagers of San Marcos High School, San Marcos, Texas. And remember... This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.